Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and of course, you know, every once in a while, I like to let you know what's going on in the world and give you my overall opinion. And so we're going to go back and listen to Monday night's call. But first, we know that not much is going on in the markets. We did call a top. We think the top is in. Now, again, just because we think the top is in doesn't mean it's going right down. It just means that we don't think it's going up much more. So let's check it out and let's go see what happened on Monday night. Here we go. What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. It is Monday night, and of course, the markets were higher today. And, you know, it's if you look at my little cartoon there, study a company's financials and invest accordingly. Why bother that when the Fed moves the entire market 5% a day? I thought that was pretty good. All right. You get solar when the sun comes out. That's true. I say you get wind when it's windy. But, you know, markets were higher. You know, I don't, you know, not a major surprise. I mean, I assume the Nasdaq would get a bounce after being pounded for the last week or so. You know, we'll see how it looks. I mean, again, I do believe that the tops are in, but that doesn't mean that we're going down. It just means that I don't think we're going much higher. And, you know, I think that you're going to turn around and you'll see we've seen some activity in the Dow that indicates that, you know, money's moving a little bit to safer places. And somebody said today there was the bull market will last for another 16 years. Secular bulls. So I go, OK, whatever. You know, it is what it is. You know, again, I don't worry about it. I mean, my long term portfolio, I'm not getting out anyways. And, you know, trading, we can always adjust. So, you know, no big deal. But, you know, it's interesting out there right now. I mean, there's just a lot of things to think about. And of course, the bottom line is what? The markets don't care. They do what they're going to do. And that's the one thing we always have to get in our minds is the markets do what they're going to do. Anyways, for my foreign investors all over the world, but the United States, tradezero.co. Again, they've got a great deal. And again, that's the one thing that we could never find in the past was the ability for especially Canadians, because that was the biggest core. But all over the world, they can take you and use you and let you trade through them. And of course, their stocks are free if they're limit orders. And options are, I think, 69 or 79 cents. So that's a pretty good deal, especially for those who have been outside the country, because you could never find a place to trade. So I have no benefit one way or the other. But I did say that I would promise and help to get it for everybody. And there it is. All right. So check it out if you're interested. If not, no big deals. But I'm going to actually look at it myself, because they will eventually come. They will eventually come here as well. I think they're just waiting for some other things to happen. But they're a big company, and they were involved in many of the other little brokerage firms throughout the years. I can't really say who they are, but they're solid. I can say that with confidence. All right. So, anyways, as we always start out. With the call is our words of wisdom from our friend Connie. You're late today. What the hell's going on here? You're supposed to be here early. I was waiting for it. Looking. Anyways, it's not what you look at that matters. It's what you see. And Henry David Thoreau. And of course, that's always, you know, the story. And of course, Chops Connie does all the good things and gets us, you know, pretty good info every week. And I think that, you know, again, it's really, what we can see out of the market and, you know, what we look into the charts, which is why I feel very comfortable saying that, you know, the top is in, but I also say very comfortable that it's not tradable yet to trade it to that side. I think you're starting to see some interesting dynamics play out and, you know, we'll see how it plays. I mean, again, I'm not going to commit anything. I mean, you've noticed we've gotten, we're making less trades because there's just not much to do. So I'm not excited. Always miss you. And I'm not excited about doing anything right here because, again, one of the things about markets is that you want to beat them when they give you the opportunity, but you don't want to let them get to you. And when they take away the opportunities, which is when volatility is at zero, I mean, that's the times you have to pay attention. And that's why you look to always adjust the type of trade you're willing to make based on the market conditions that we have. And right now, the market conditions we have now are, you know, they're slow. They lack volatility and they lack a lot of conviction, even though they've drifted higher. You know, again, today was a pretty big up day, but again, it was more of a drift once it opened. And, you know, you had a couple of runs and that's good. I mean, it's fine. I have no problem with it. And again, I'm not getting in front of it. I'm just, you know, observing, looking for the opportunity. So, and of course, no call would be complete without me bitching. And of course I get one free one and I sneak a bunch in during the call, but, I want to know what happened to free markets and price discovery. It's really starting to piss me off. I got to be honest with you. It's really starting to get under my skin because I listen to all these jackasses all the time, and I really get irritated because if we had true free markets, we wouldn't have a healthcare problem, in my opinion, because if insurance companies could go out and sell and compete, and they would take care of it. I don't think we'd have an interest rate problem because if Prosper and Peer and Cabbage and other peer-to-peer lenders are lending a lot of money, which they are, right? Because they advertise like they're giving it away for free. Then why can't the banks do the same thing? But of course, because of the way that they've done everything, it just, in my opinion, creates a much bigger mess, and we've lost the true free market system for now. Hopefully, we'll get it back. But for now, I don't see a true free market. I see a manipulated market where we manipulate interest rates and we're trying to manipulate inflation, which is all stupid to me. But again, who am I? In the meantime, if you watch the commodities, they got clopped, based on their need for inflation. But anyways, that's my bitch. That's one of many. Anyways, so, you know, today we had a market that was higher, obviously. And we made another new high in the Dow. Now, you know, again, I refuse to get in front of the Dow here. I mean, I've been saying all along that, you know, look, you know, you can only be dip buyers right now if you want to be in. And, you know, I'm not looking to sell them here because I'm not going to try to step in front and pick the top. I did try to pick the bottom of oil today and they got run over. But thank God the car didn't get too good at gas mileage. But at the end of the day, here we are. So we make another new high. Now, is this, you know, can you call the last 2 days a potential blow off? Then maybe, you know, again, I don't see any reason to get involved here. You know, again, the only thing I could see if I were going to make a trade period in here, it could only be the long side, which would be a buyer at 21.4. All right. Again, there's no reason for me to step in the way and say, OK, well, this is it. This is the top because, yeah, I do believe that the market's in topping action. Now, it doesn't mean it can't go up a little bit higher. But at the end of the day, is there really a reason for me to trade it here? And the answer would be no. Why am I going to decide that this is the absolute spot to sell? Because as I write to you every day and I talk to you about it, it's going to come down to volatility. That will be the key trigger that we're going to look for. Okay. And when we see some volatility, we will then decide that it's better to get back involved. All right. But right now, there's nothing really to do here. You know, this is going up and this is going up for a number of reasons. I mean, would you say that, you know, it's more of a safety play now, that there may be some money moving into the, you know, bigger caps and the safety plays? Possible. That would be my assessment here. But in the meantime, if you're going to play, you can only be a buyer. There's no reason to be a seller here because all you're going to do is try to kiss the train as it's running you over, and you're going to wonder what hits your head in the head. And it just doesn't make sense, you know, to sell this because, again, this is a logical play from a straight out market theory standpoint. That if people are going to stay in the market, what the brokers like to do is like to roll to the safe asset classes, right? So,
and we'll come back and talk more about what the brokers like to roll. And remember, this podcast is brought to you by audibletrial.com/TheBubba Show. In the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. We're going to step out here for break, and we will be right back after the break with more of me, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back after the break. Bubba Show, Todd of Horse with you. And of course, we are listening and intently listening into some of the things we talked about on Sunday. So let's get back to that right now. Here we go.
they're moving into safety is basically what you would be seeing is the way I define this. The S&P also broke out to a new high today. Now, again, this one I'm not so confident in that we're seeing a run here to safety. But again, I can't say that it's not. I think that I certainly wouldn't be a seller here, but I would certainly look at opportunity. I would think, again, if you're going to play in this spot, you know, you have to look at 2440 as a possible level of support. I see no reason to get in front of this one either. Again, I have no resistance. I have no reason that says, hey, this is a great opportunity to jump in, right? So I don't see any reason to jump in here either. NASDAQ, Charlie, Oscar, Michael, Peter. Charlie, yes, it did, sir. Charlie, Oscar, Michael, Peter. All right. Now this, I could now make a case, all right? We wouldn't sell it. We got this. So now this is the kind of action that I'm now looking for if I want to get short the NASDAQ. And I do believe that this is the perfect action that we're going to look for. Now, again, I'm not going to say that it's going to hold, but right now I'm a seller right around 6250 in that area. You know, 6250 to 6275, I'm a seller. All right. Now, you know, I think that this is the activity that you're looking for. Now, again, we could spike up and take the high out. Then I would have to say, okay, I'm wrong. But for now, this is what I wanted to see, the big sell-off, all right? And then how did it trade subsequently? Well, it's been pretty choppy, but really leaning lower. So here I'd be a very willing seller here, you know, and I'd be willing to take, you know, if we can get some volatility, I'd be willing to take a little bit bigger position. But right now, you can look to be a seller, 6250 to 6275, somewhere around there. Again, you know, you can use the Qs, which we'll look at later, because we'll obviously put a play on those now. But this market now looks like it's ready to go. Now, again, I would think that 6,100 is in play, and then it's probably 6,000. Again, we're not going straight down. There's going to be plenty of trade, and this is the kind of action we'd rather see because it makes the sell-offs bigger, and then the big rallies are easier to sell. I mean, 6,300 would be secondary or third. You know, you could use that, but again, it's you're looking right in here is where I'm looking. Okay, so you know I'm a seller at 6,250 myself. All right, I mean, actually, I'm already short, so I've got a risk reversal on. So, but and again, I'm very comfortable with that, and I think that we're going to be fine. And I think that the way it closed was pretty interesting as well. So, we're good there. And then, of course, the Russell, Romeo Uniform Tango. Again, I'd be a happy seller, you know, somewhere around, you know, 1430-ish, you know, towards the high. But again, this is not as clear, all right, but it is looking like it did put in the top here. So we'll see. Now, again, this could be considered a potential double top, but remember, double tops work much better in a market that's downtrending. And this, at worst, is consolidating if it's not uptrending now. So, but I would look to be a potential seller here as well. I think this is a little bit overdone again. And I think with the action you're seeing in the other indexes, I think that it's more indicative that there's going to be some selling pressure. And this is fairly, based on where the market was most of that, it was fairly weak. And then it did pick up a little bit late. But I think some of that was a little bit of short covering and whatever. So, I'd be a seller here. Now, again, you could look at 1400 to be a buyer. I think the levels are fairly clear. So again, we're just looking for the opportunity. We're not trying to outsmart it. We're going to use the footprints and the levels to be able to decide where we want to go. Crude. Yeah, you got pounded again. I actually took a stab here today, and I feel like I got stabbed. All right. So, here we are making new lows again. Now, I can't really in good conscience say buy it, although I'm going to buy it again. I'm going to take another crack out of here somewhere. This trade, in my opinion, is now getting what we would call fairly crowded. All right. It's too easy to be short. You know, when it's too easy to be on either side of any market, that's usually another little bit of a warning sign. And they've made it so easy. And I think that you're going to see, you know, based on the chart. And again, this is not a recommendation, although, you know, if this is only for, this is for gamblers only. All right. But you should probably get some sort of a bounce here. And the key is, where does it bounce to? Now, we were selling it, trying to sell it at 48. We were selling it at 50. Well, now I'm willing to sell it at, you know, like 46 or 46.50. Now, this number is not as accurate as I'd like it to be, because they rolled over today from July, which is about 40 cents lower. So really around $44 crude based on what we have been tracking. But again, I'm a seller at 46.47. I'm looking to be a buyer somewhere, because I will say this. I think we'll see one massive short covering rally. And I think there's a chance it goes back to 48 or 49 before it sells off again. Certainly, based on the trajectory that we're going, you know, if we went to 49 quickly, then it could get there. That would still be in town, in whichever, in the position to be in that downtrend. So that would be cool. Gold. Boy, there's no real buy oil. It's just, I'm just saying that I'm going to buy it because I'm stupid. I'm going to jump into it, but I'm trying to fish here on the bottom, and I don't want to, you know, really recommend it, because it's more of a, it's a little bit higher risk trade, and you know, I don't want anybody to get hurt on this trade, because I'm gambling a little bit. I mean, I'm playing a probability model, but certainly it could go down another dollar, and it's not really, there's not a solid level to buy it, in other words. All right. It's more pick it. Now, again, one of the things I don't mind doing is, you know, the one thing about selling short versus picking bottoms is I know it can only go to zero. You know, now we know crude's not going to zero, but you know what I'm saying, right? It's easier to hold a long, something long that can only go to zero versus being short where it's like they can torment you forever. So it's easier. So that would be my position in oil, is I'd be looking for a spot to buy, but I really don't have an official call except to be a seller at the, you know, 47, 46, 49, anywhere on a rally that's reasonable, but I would not jump in too quickly. I'd let it work and then, you know, work to the shorter term, right? Gold, Golf Charlie. I don't know. Tragic. It's obviously turned around, and we had it nailed perfectly at 1300, but we didn't sell it there. We said we would look for a chance to buy it on the way down. And of course it came to our level to buy. And of course it continues lower. Now this is, again, this goes back to my bitch, and this goes back to, you know, the commodity space. I mean, they're just pounding away. Again, this will probably bounce, but now I'm not as confident in the rally. I wouldn't, at this point, there's no trade to really make here. At this point, I would not be surprised to see 1220 or 1225, which is the lower end of this range. Right now, you'd have to potentially look at selling at 1300 now. Again, in between, you know, it's, I'm not, as I said, I'm certainly not going to sell it here. I mean, we're down dramatically, so do I want to sell it at, you know, 1250 or 1260? Probably not. I'd like to see the action. I mean, I could change my mind, but just as it lays out, no, I'm not going to be. So we'll let it trade out, and we'll look at it later. There's really not a great opportunity here, in my opinion, because I think the sell is too close to where I'd like it to be. So I would sell 1300. You can use that. I would observe it at 1220, 1225, and see if it holds again, because it did hold miraculous there a couple of times. So right now, that's where I have to make them. I can't get them any tighter than that, because there's just not much to do. All right, bonds.
And of course, you know, there's just, this is the type of action that we're seeing. And of course, you know that this is being brought to you by Audible Trial, Audible Books. And of course, you can download your book today at audibletrial.com/TheBubba Show. You get a free trial and check it out. In the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day. And we're going to step out here for break and be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horsley will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
I know
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and what we're doing here is we're going to go back and listen to what's going on in the bond world and the other markets, so let's get back to it right now. Here we go.
The bonds. Amazing. Amazing. I say that every week. Amazing. Now, this is the weirdest thing, all right, because by all rights, the bonds should not be going up. Okay? Now they are. So, you know, you can't fight the market. But by theory, all right, that higher interest rates would mean lower bond prices. So if the Fed hiked, how are the bonds still going up? Well, one of the reasons these are still going up is because they're not directly affected, because the Fed is talking about short-term rates. But in the meantime, it doesn't make a lot of logical sense. And now we're in another sideways pattern. And, you know, certainly it could go higher. I mean, again, there's no way that I'm buying these. I'm only selling them. But, you know, here, you know, do you want to get in front of the future, you know, when it continues to try to push higher? You know, that's that's the issue that you have to look at. And we don't have a legitimate sell point because we do have a market that's trying to work to the upside. Now, if you're dying for a place, I'd say 156 would be okay. And again, if you're willing to live with it, you know, in the futures model, then that's okay. You know, so, you know, my spec stuff is short bonds. So we're getting hurt there a little bit. But again, we'll take the losses off here pretty quick if it doesn't work. But that's, you know, kind of what I'm thinking. But again, I don't want to make it, you know, like it is not a solid footprint. There's too much interpretation to this. All right. The dollar. Delta X-ray Yankee. Now, this is another troublesome chart, not from a charting standpoint, but again, this goes back to the whole theory, right? If the Fed is hiking rates, then the bond should be falling and the dollar should be rallying. Well, the dollar has not done a very good job at rallying, right? It's been actually clobbered, which we called, and I still think it's going to 94, right? That's my target down here, all right? But in the meantime, I would have thought that we would have seen at least a 98 run, and we haven't even come close. So now, I don't know. Is this a spot to sell it? You know, probably. I'm going to wait on that. I mean, certainly, I would have thought 98 would have come in for sure, and we haven't even come close. I mean, the rally the last couple weeks has been pretty pathetic based on the amount of selling that's taking place. So this is the quirks that, you know, go through the markets all the time. When you look at these different things, and that's why you can never trade or base something on a pure correlation on a short-term trade, because they're not necessarily correlated on a short-term opportunity. Okay. You know, just because they're supposed to be correlated doesn't mean today or tomorrow they're going to correlate. They will eventually correlate back out, but they're not correlated at the moment. So again, I'd look at 98 as a potential spot to sell. I'd be a buyer at 94 and not before. And right now we'll kind of, you know, again, I hate to be like that, but that's kind of what the charts are telling me. So that's what we're going to do. The euro currency. Okay. And we wanted to sell it at 113. Look at it. Bang. 112.99 and down cheeked. And down goes Fraser. You know, I think 113 is still a good sale. I think that, you know, it's probably in this range now. You can see it's kind of in consolidation. You can either look at the consolidation from let's get the right month up here because we did roll. So let's just make it. Let's look at it purely. All right, better. So you could look at here as a potential spot. We're in pretty good consolidation. We are kind of working on. Again, I'd like to be a seller at 113. I think that's the right spot here. And I think then we plunge lower. I don't really want to buy it here, although you could. It's probably a good spot, but I would sit by and wait for the opportunity to sell it. The pound. All right. So the pound is got pounded on Theresa May and on the election, but the pound is coming back a little bit. And again, I like this. We continue to think it's going to go higher. I think for sure we'll fill the gap going up. I think it's going to be fine and strong. So I would continue to look for opportunities to buy this. And of course, the ugly duckling, the VIX, which actually, surprisingly or so, held up fairly well today, as somebody commented earlier. You know, we are trying to work our way a little bit higher here. I would say that for a market that was up as big as the markets were up today, the VIX was really never down all that much. So, you know, that, and I don't know that that's a real sign or not, but it is something to look at and something to think about. Because again, this is what you should be watching right now. Obviously, you look at the charts and you watch the footprint, but there is going to be no big move on the general in markets until the VIX starts to move. Now, if the VIX starts to go lower, they could make a new low. So again, it's not like a guarantee, but certainly, you know, until we start to see this pump up a little bit, we're not going to get much action here. All right, again, that's the whole key to watch. I think so. To me, the key to watch now is volatility, right? Because without it, we're going to be very quiet into ourselves and wait till we get it. Because again, it doesn't pay, because you can't get a leg up on the market if you don't have any volatility. Because again, you don't have the forgiveness of if you make a mistake. All right. Even Google employees can no longer afford housing in San Francisco. Now, I'm sure that's not 100% the case, but it is becoming an issue. I mean, does anybody see a problem with housing in some areas now? Where I live, there's no problem. I mean, hell, Illinois is going bankrupt anyways. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm the only guy who bought a house in the bottom of 08, and I'm going to lose money if I sell it. But, I mean, you know, this is something to think about. Again, we've got a cockeyed system right now. And that becomes a problem. And this dope. Do you guys remember him from Reagan's administration? Stockman? Any of you remember this guy? I sent a letter to one of the networks. I said, are you guys nuts? You need ratings that bad? I don't understand. This guy talks error and doesn't do anything. All he wants to do is sell something. I don't get it. I mean, is the market overvalued? Yeah, I do think so. Is it the most hideously overvalued market? No, I don't. I don't know. I think there's a lot of markets that could give it a run for its money if you go back and look in history. Yeah, they all say the world is good. Him and Harry Dent. But, okay. Anyways, again, these are people that give the entire business a bad name. Okay. Cramer, our buddy. Major deflationary disruption. Okay. About Amazon and Whole Foods. Well, if you've been listening to me long enough and you've seen me on air long enough, I've said that I believe that Amazon's trying to take over the world. And I believe that they're going to be back in brick and mortar as well. But again, they're going to use it to their advantage. I mean, they're so far ahead of everybody else right now that everybody must have got caught napping. But they clobbered, obviously, Walmart, Costco, and some of the others because their model. Right now Costco, as I've said, I think is the biggest, got the biggest problem here, because Costco is the same kind of model. It's a membership model, not a margin model. So we'll see. And I think you probably want to look at some of the, and we'll look at some tonight, but you probably want to look at some of the groceries and the Walmarts as a potential play here. But I don't think this does not create a deflationary scenario just because Amazon wanted to work on low margins. This is where I get really irritated when I go, well, if we had free markets and free price discovery, then the markets, you would pay what the market would bear, whatever it happens to be. And that, to me, is the bigger problem. You know, when you go to a flea market, they don't have the Fed there dictating price. Guy offers, asks for 10, you offer 5. If you make a deal, you exchange wealth. Or you don't make a deal, you walk out and there's no sale. So, again, I think that the deflation is more brought on by the idiotic policies that we're under right now instead of somebody like Amazon buying another company. Irvic, smallest four-week ad since last year. Well, you know, listen, they pumped themselves into oblivion. You know, they made a little bit of a mistake. You know, as always happens in any market, right? The doomsday man, Dave Stockman. And would I say housing market is a free market? No. I did say it a few weeks ago. And then I went back and thought about it. And my answer is no. It's not a free market because it's totally dictated by the interest rates. When interest rates are low, housing prices go up. When interest rates are high, housing prices go down. So, no, I'm going to say it's not truly a free market. Okay? If it's a cash market, yes, it would be a free market. But it's not a cash market. It's a borrowing market. So I would say no. That's my opinion. Okay? Now, I was of the opinion that was the last free market left, but I think I was wrong. All right. So, you know, as always happens, is they overpumped. So now they get a glut, which we had a glut before they were pumping. But because we had manipulation from Saudi Arabia and OPEC, these guys, and God bless the Americans, right? They took advantage of every bit of it, and they kept pumping, and they kept selling them. Right? But now there's obviously going to be a little bit of a problem. And, of course, I think we might see the resolve of that quickly here with a quick bounce. But in the meantime, this is what happened. You try to manipulate markets. So they're not going to be adding. They're going to try to drain supply so that they can raise their prices again.
And, of course, that was their whole plan all along. And, of course, they got it stuck up their potatoes. And that couldn't make me happier that OPEC did get it jammed. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every day as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, don't forget to get a hold of Bubba's Bottom Line, available to you at BubbaTrading.com. Go check it out. We're going to stop out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, on this Wednesday, and we're going to go back to listen to the call, and we'll be going there right now. Here we go.
Powerball Mega Millions to haul Illinois due to state's inability to pay winners. Can you imagine? Can you imagine winning the lottery in Illinois and not getting paid? Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, it's interesting when you look at this stuff that goes on, and I find it just fascinating that I live here like a schmuck. All right. Someone's going to jail. Now, I don't know if you guys are following any of this Russia stuff and all this other stuff, but you know, this is like the most idiotic thing ever on all parties, but every day it's a new story, it's a new lie, it's a new truth. Who the hell knows what's going on? I mean, eventually someone's going to go to jail here because somebody's got something wrong here somewhere, I think, in my opinion. Yes, that's true about the Illinois lottery. Yes, it is true. It is true. All right. Employment versus population ratio. Again, my concern. All right. Here. We continue to lose jobs. I mean, you can tell me that we got great jobs. I go, okay, where are they? Let me see them. Prove it to me. All right. Show me. I'm from the show me state. All right. It's not logical. Everyone's going to jail except Hillary. She came from Illinois, too. So, you know, there's mostly something on the water in Illinois because, you know, we had four governors go to jail and then we had Hillary come from here. Amazon's impact on retail sales growth. Now, look, Amazon built an unbelievable model. They were able to stave off execution many, many times, and they're doing a good job. Now, the question is, do they, you know, can they continue? Will they make money? You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a buyer of their stock at these levels. I'd rather be a seller, but certainly you have to accredit what they do because they're getting in everything. Now, their delivery method, everything they do. I mean, somebody said to me yesterday, Amazon is delivering by drones and Walmart's delivering by employees on their way home. So, you know, you tell me. But again, this is something that, you know, if everybody was prepared and we could leave the government out of them, we might actually, I mean, are they not becoming a monopoly, Amazon? In anybody's opinion? I don't know. I'm asking. That's more of an ask, not a comment. So I don't know. Amazon versus Walmart, right? You know, I think Walmart will be fine. I think Walmart's got plenty of dough, too. I think this will be a battle. But I think what really happens here is the little guy gets screwed, okay? The little guy gets squeezed out. That's, you know, one of the things I always hated about Walmart is that, you know, they only have vendors so that they can get free money, right? Their business model is to, you know, get net 60 or net 90 from their vendors so they don't have to pay or borrow the money, so they get the goods. And then as soon as they, you know, get a better deal and take care of it, they throw that vendor out. So people put their whole lives and put it all into Walmart, and then they end up getting screwed anyways. You know, I've owned some companies over the years, and my mandate to my people was, you can't sell Walmart in the United States. I don't want anything to do with them because they're too big and they're too demanding, and I'm not giving anybody net 90. I don't care who they are. Now, I did sell Walmart in Canada and in Mexico, but they have a different plan. But again, you have to wonder, you know, if they're shutting down, you know, some of the bigger mergers, then why would they worry about this? What's the problem here? And of course, we talk about this a number of times, but the yield curve, all right? This is the I don't know what normal is. I think that's the dumbest thing I ever hear is normalization. Well, what the hell is normal? Can anybody tell me what normal is? All right. I don't see anything that's normal about what we're doing. I don't see having the Federal Reserve lowering rates for 38 years as normal. All right. So to me, what is normal? Normal is letting the markets price the asset classes by themselves, but they don't do that, which is why we have a yield curve that is flattening. All right. The yield curve is supposed to be rising and it's starting to flatten. All right. Now, eventually it could invert, which would be, you know, and everybody says, well, it's no big deal. Okay, well, it's no big deal. I don't know. I just know from history that, you know, there's problems. There's no reason for a yield curve to invert. It has happened, and it always happens under the ugliest circumstances, but it does happen. All right. So this is the Kay Schiller something, the PE ratio, I forgot. But this is 1929, this is 1987, this is 1999-2000, and then this is now. And again, I'm not making any predictions of it. I'm just saying that, again, things are getting out of whack, but everybody chooses to ignore them. All right. Now, when they want his stuff, when his stuff is bullish, they blab it all over the place. They have him on, right? But when it's not bullish, they kind of bury him in the corner. So again, that's the issue that I see with the market is that we don't put it out equally, right? Where it should be just, this is what it is. We don't need to get, you know, the two extremes. Here's a guy who's saying, based on his model and his formula, and again, it doesn't mean anything, to me right now, but again, something to look at. GDP, gee, what a shock. We said that here first. It would be revised down again, and of course, it's going to be revised down again. They can't get the growth. That's the problem, right? We can't get growth. So how are we? Where are we going to magically make growth come from? You can't do it when you don't have entrepreneurs. You can't do it when you have the Fed manipulating in the money, because again, the banks aren't giving it to the small guys, which is why they have to go to these peer-to-peer lenders. Now think about it. If you got to go to Prosper. I don't know if anybody here's got a loan from Prosper, but their rates are probably 8 to 15%. Right? So you're not equally playing on an equal playing field. So the only way we're ever going to get growth is not by tax cuts, although tax cuts would be nice, but by bringing back markets and letting them trade and letting everything price itself out, where people can make a decision if interest rates are 5%, do I want to borrow money, all right, or not? Of course, that's, you know, we've got this another issue with the banking system, but I'll save that for another bitch. U.S. seeks to block FanDuel's DraftKings fantasy sports mergers. Now, again, why are they in the middle of this? If somebody wants to be in this business, let them open up. Yes, these are the two biggest guys in the business. They're providing a service in which they're taking a fee for you to play. You don't have to play. You don't want to play. There's no law that says you got to pay or play with them. It's fantasy sports. You want to play? That's the, here's your cost to pay. This is free markets, by the way. This is a true free market. You got to pay. You want to, you don't want to pay? Don't play. Very simple. All right. So why is the government getting involved with these guys? They didn't want them. They tried to shut them down. Now they want to block the merger. I mean, again, I understand monopolies. I understand consent decree and all the other stuff. But this is, first of all, a harmless thing. It's got no product involved. It's a service. So, you know, if somebody else wants to go in business, let them go in business. State and local pensions have shifted towards alternative investments, which has been my play all along, which is why I'm a big fan of the grain markets and gold. Of course, I'm not such a big fan now in silver, but some of the other alternatives, those are known as alternative investments. And that will be when the market does sell off, that is where the money will go. A big portion will go into alternatives, and pensions are starting to move there a little bit. So all that means is that the pensions are telling you that, that they're in concern. Of course, the pensions are in big trouble as well as everything else. Investors looking to beat the commons market in 50 years. You know, I love when you, you have all this stuff and you have everybody telling you that this is it and that's this and we can't do this and we can't do this. And here, this is from Goldman Sachs, actually. Now, you know they have an agenda behind their words here, all right? And they're trying to convince everybody that the volatility is rigged. Well, I mean, it could be rigged, but how the hell can the market's gone up? Nothing but straight up. So why would I think it's rigged? And again, they're insisting that you need to start to go into other classes. We'll start to hear what their classes are that they want you to start to go into, because obviously they want to clean up some stuff. So it's just interesting that we have these issues.
And of course, we always have the issues that we discuss, but unfortunately, that will do it for today. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, right here on The Bubba Show at the LibertyTalk.fm network. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.